Okay, we're starting here on the top of Daled Amud Aleph. Yesterday we left off with the Ibai Dema of the Gemara that suggested that the Braita, which mentions in Machmat HaOnes, if it was because of Ones Mutar, that they can move it back to Monday. So we were trying to determine what that Ones was. So the Gemara gave one suggestion that it was the army showing up and then the food would be confiscated for the use of the army and the chef and the entourage of the Tzar Tzava. Then the Gemara said, Ibai Dema, that the onus that we're thinking about here is Kidetanya. Like this Braita. The Braita is an unfortunate incident because it brings in clash many different factors, which is, Harei Sheya Pito Afui, Utvacho Tavuach, his bread was already baked, his animal was already shechted, Vieno Mazug, and the wine was already diluted, Umeita Viv Shel Chatan Uima Shel Kala, the father of the Chatan or the mother of the Kala unfortunately passed away. Machnisin et ha-meit l'cheder. We move the mate into the cheder. Ve'et ha-chatan ve'et ha-kala l'chupa. We take them straight to the chupa. U'boel bilat mitzvah. And then they consummate the marriage, have a biat mitzvah. Tosavit over here makes the note. Ein isha koretet bit. Ela misha oseh ota kli. So that's number one, which is from the woman's side. This is the consummation of the marriage because this is what draws her close, makes her really a wife to this individual. Then vayadekach mitbakba. Number two is the husband. Through this, he is attached to her. They are vayula basar echad. And number three is ubayin lidei piria virivya. And this is the ultimate form, according to most of the Rishonim, that kiddushin and nisuin aren't necessarily a mitzvah, but rather just a hechitimtze to get to piria virivya. So if you don't do an act that involves some sort of consummation in the process of doing piriyah v'rivyah, then there's really no mitzvah being done. The mitzvah is piriyah v'rivyah. The echitimtza is kiddushin and nisuin. Therefore, piriyah v'rivyah play an important role or a fundamental role in this. That's why they call the first biyah bilat mitzvah. Again, we mentioned the pasuk before, kibolayich usayich, that the Gemara quotes to prove that. And the Rosh, who is the most famous in terms of his Shita, that there is no mitzvah in Kiddushin, there is no mitzvah in Nisuin, but simply Piriyah Rivya. And he therefore explains why our Birkat Erusin is not like the Yerushalmi, which says, Asher Kiddushan B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu L'kadesh Et Aisha, which is the bracha according to the Yerushalmi. The Rosh says, it's just not a mitzvah. Our bracha is Birkat Shevach V'hoda'ah, not Birkat HaMitzvah, and that's why the Bavli does not accept the Lashon of the Yerushalmi, and that's why we don't paskin that way. Of course, there are Rishonim who argue both on the Kiddushin aspect and the Nisuin aspect as to being independent mitzvot, but it's clear that Piriyah Rivya is a fundamental or integral part of the mitzvah of marriage. And on top of that, I think Rav Soloveitchik in Family Redeemed writes that very classic Brisker type of idea, but in order to get married, you need a matir. And the matir is the acceptance of responsibility. And responsibility comes through the acts of pru or vu, having children. And that's what generates the necessity or the framework in which marriage is supposedly okay or is mutar. So that's the way he expresses it, that the union or the vayulu basar echad is fundamental to the allowing of marriage and for the reasons for marriage. And therefore, again, boel bilat mitzvah is essential over here. Upareish, and then he separates. Noeg shivat yimei mishteh. Then they have the 7 days of sheva brachot. V'chagach noeg shivat yimei avelut. And then they have the 7 days of avelut. Cholotana yamim hu yashen ben anashim v'yishena ben anashim. All of those days they separate, and he stays with the men, she stays with the women. Ve'ein monim tachshitim in akala kol shloshim yom. We do not withhold from the kala the ability to adorn herself, to put on makeup, to dress up during those 30 days because she's a new kala. Shalot tidkaneh al bala, the same din, as you can see the cross reference to Yoma, same din by Yom HaKippurim. If a kala is within her first 30 days on Yom HaKippurim, she can be rochetzet panaha, she can make sure that she is lo nitkaneh al bala. Again, I pointed out last time that that Tosafot notes as being the common denominator that makes both of these items meet the Rabbanan. If we can be Mekil, if we can have these dispensations, then Avelut must be the Rabbanan, and so too the Inuim, outside of Achilan Shtiyah, must be the Rabbanan, and that's why we're Mekil. the Gemara now is medayek out of the Braita. V'davka aviv shel chatan, o ima shel kala. It's specifically the father of the groom and the mother of the bride. Deleka inish detarach lehu, because they have a unique standing in the wedding party. The mother of the bride, again, these are the paradigmatic individuals who they look to for guidance. The mother of the bride is the one who takes her daughter, prepares her daughter, helps her through the process of the marriage. And the father of the groom is the same. They are the living examples for these individuals. And therefore, if they pass away, there'll be nobody to replace them if we postpone the marriage. They were here all the way to the last moment. If we postpone the marriage now, there'll be nobody to replace them. And therefore, they are irreplaceable, and we want to have the marriage now. On the other hand, when it's the other spouse, it is the father of the bride, the mother of the groom. Over there, they, of course, they're essential. Of course, they're parents, but it's a slightly different relationship, something that can, in some ways, be replaceable. And therefore, the din would not apply there, that you would not postpone the avelut. You would not knock things off and do all of this process. We would at first have the avelut, and then we would redo the wedding in its proper time when we had the opportunity to do it. Here, one of the things that Tosua points out when we talked about the fact that it's only the father of the groom and the mother of the bride, he talks about the ability to have marriage or weddings if someone is a avel for a shar krovim. When you are an avel, are you allowed to get married? So that's the question here. The Gemara in Yevamot deals with it a little bit. We saw this a couple of times. There's a Tosafot there that does the same thing. Question is, what is the status of the man at that time period? If the man has yet to have children, there's a larger dispensation to allow him to get married even while he's an avel. If he has young children and he needs a stepmother to take care of them, a woman to help him out, then there's also dispensations to get married. How far those dispensations go is a machloket in the Rishonim. Tosafot here deals with all of that. Rabbeinu Tam is the most meikil, who allows you to get married during the Shloshim period. Rabbi says you can get married during Shloshim. You just only do the Biyah after Shloshim. Rabbeinu Tam allows for the marriage and the Biyah during Shloshim. And again, Shtemasach Chodesh, for a parent, here also they have dispensations. Even though you can't do it during Shloshim, maybe you can get married during the Shtemasach Chodesh. Either because Shemashar Chodesh is equal to the Shloshim for other people, or because Shemashar Chodesh is really just a minhag of kavod, and therefore there's no really surim associated with it. And so for either of those reasons, one is allowed to get married. Tosafot is a very extensive Tosafot here about these dispensations for allowing an individual to get married during these periods of time. And when can you do the shiduchim in order to create the marriage? Can you do that even during Shiva? So again, all of that comes to the, really what's the isur over here of getting married, the isur of consummating a marriage, and can it override avelut? So Tosafot is dealing with that question, which again, is, we saw back in Moed Katan and other places about what the isurim of avelut are. What are the isurim of Shiva, Shloshim, and Shnimasar Chodesh? Now, there are a number of items to discuss, one of which is, how does this work? How is it possible that we push off the avelut? How is it possible that we have the Shiva Yimei Mishteh first? We do the Bilat Mitzvah. There's a lot of interactions or factors over here. Tosafot already raises the issue by saying, how is it possible now that we are Mekil in Aninuto Raita? We're actually going to be more lenient in Aninuto Raita. We're going to allow you to have Bi'ah, allow you to have Bilat Mitzvah while you're in Onein, versus Bavelut, which we see, they have to split up. After the Bilat Mitzvah, they split up for the Shiva Yimei Mishteh and the Avelut. There is no Bi'ah during Avelut. So here you have Aninut, which is more severe, very possibly de'oraita. And over there, we're suggesting that you can have bi'ah. Whereas by avelut, the Rabbanan, we're saying asur bi'ah. Tosafot points out there are a number of other items that are very similar to that, which is nilata sandal, atifata rosh, kfiata mita. All these items only apply during avelut. They do not apply during aninut. So he says it's not unprecedented, but you do have to explain why it is that these items don't exist during aninut. And they do exist during Avelut. Most of that will come out of what you think the relationship is between Aninut and Avelut. And that is a major, major machloket Rishonim. It really colors their view of what Avelut is and how distinct Avelut is from Aninut. So for instance, the Shita de Geonim. The Shita de Geonim is that Avelut b'yom Rishon is Deoraita. How do they know that Avelut b'yom Rishon is Deoraita? They learn it out of Aninut. And the Rambam himself does the same thing. He quotes in Aleph Aleph of Hichot Avelut, he quotes the fact that Avelut b'yom Rishon is Deoraita, and he quotes the pasuk Achritak Yomar, which is a pasuk that speaks about Aninut. So how is it that they're using aninut to tell us what avelut is? So that is a question that is raised by the Ramban and leads them down a different path where he says aninut luchud and avelut luchud. So he has a different shita because of that. But according to the Geonim and according to the Rambam, you have aninut. That aninut also colors the first day of avelut. And then avelut after that becomes dirabanan. But according to them, you start aninut from the day of mitah, from the time that the niftar is there. And then you transition into avelut at the kvura, which we're going to see at the end of today's daf. And once the mate is buried, you have stimata golel, then the avelut begins. So you have a period of aninut, then you have a period of avelut. The question for those shitot, again, part of it is easy because according to them, aninut and avelut are completely separate. And the dinim of aninut are completely separate from the dinim of avelut. Avelut has the yud alef davar that are associated with it. Aninut has particular things that are associated with it, and they might derive from different reasons. And that's why you could separate out the dinim. So you could explain it. The only question you have is, if avelut yom rishon is d'oraita, how do you deal with the fact that we just postponed avelut to do shivat yimei amishteh? How is that possible? So there are different approaches to this. Some approaches which are interesting suggest that Sheva Brachot, the first day of Sheva Brachot, is also d'oraita. There's a parallel structure between avelut and marriage, and the first year of marriage, where you have Shiva Yimei Avelut, you have the Shiva Yimei Mishteh. And even within Shiva, we know that the first 3 days of Shiva are more chamur. We saw that in the Gemara Moed Katan. And the same is true by marriage. You have 3 days of Sheva Brachot for an Amon or an Almanah. You have Shloshim Yom Avelut, you have the Shloshim Yom for the Klala. We just saw the din of the first Shloshim Yom. She gets a dispensation. Shlemach Sar Chodesh by a parent, by Avelut. The Shana Rishona by marriage. So there's a parallel structure here. And so there are those that suggest that the Yom Rishon of Sheva Brachot is d'oraita, just like Avelut. It's a very interesting and difficult position, but that's how they deal with it. Others suggest over here that the reason we're able to overcome this is a Sheva Al Taseh. The Chachamim are allowed to be Oker Davar Min HaTorah B'Sheva Al Taseh. And over here, we're dealing with a Sheva V'Al Taseh. We're just not keeping the Avelut, the Nihuge Avelut on that day. And that's how we overcome the problem of D'oraita. Or the less possibility is a case where the Yom HaKuvura was not Yom HaMita. Because in that case, everybody agrees that there is no Avelut D'oraita on the first day. And Yom HaKuvura is on the same day as Yom HaMita because it derives from Aninut D'oraita. And over here, the Aninut and the Avelut are being separated. According to the Ritva, if we are starting, we have the Biat Mitzvah, and we generate the Shivat Yimei Amishteh, that there is some unwinding of the need for Aninut here. Because why is someone an Onein? Why is someone become an Avel? So the Aninut is generated by the fact that this individual is engaged or takes care of the mate. And since they are taking care of the mate, then they are an Onein. If you're not taking care of the mate, you may not be an Onein. They have Zimim Achokot Vishonim as well. What generates Aninut? According to the Ritva, he suggests that aninut is generated by the fact that you're metapo b'mate. Over here, we're telling them, no, put the mate on the side. We're not doing anything with the mate. That might generate, first of all, the dispensation for the biat mitzvah. That might also create the suspension of the avelut as well, because if you push out the aninut and then you do the biat mitzvah, that's how you overcome the problem of the shivat yimei avelut. All right, so now, in addition to that, you have to answer the structure of the sugya. So for the Rambam, in terms of why there's a difference between aninut and avelut, it's very easy to understand, because he has aninut and avelut separate. What's very hard to understand, according to the Rambam, is why dafka aviv shel chatan and ima shel kala. It should be irrelevant which way you go, because the whole point is that aninut doesn't have a restriction by biyah. So why not? By the same token, when it's reversed, you should be able to do the same thing. So for the Rambam, the end of the sugya is very difficult to understand why ipcha is not true. For him, the same dispensation that applies by the father of the chatan and the mother of the kala should also apply when it's reversed. The Rambam should be able to be matter in both directions. What you have to say is that we do not override, quote-unquote, the kavod mate, except in a situation where it's the father of the groom or the mother of the kala, so there we put the mate by the side. Otherwise, we're not going to give precedence, even though biyaz mutar, we're just not going to allow this to take place where it's going to generate the Shivat Yimei Mishteh and the Dichiyat Avelut. That we're not going to let happen. You have to say something along those lines. The Ramban argues against the Rambam vehemently. He also argues against the Balei Tosfot. Balei Tosfot who think that Avelut is the Rabbanan. The Rambam who thinks that Avelut is the Oraita from Aninut. The Ramban says neither of those seem to hold water. And therefore the Ramban comes to the conclusion that Avelut is the Oraita, but only certain things in Avelut are the Oraita. Most of the Nehigwe Avelut are mid the Rabbanan. Some frameworks or some structures are the Oraita. But then, most importantly, he says, Avelut and Aninut both begin at the Yom HaMita. Soon as there's death, Avelut starts and Aninut starts. How come we find that Avelut only begins after the Kvura? He says that's a technical problem, because when someone is an Onein, they are Patur Min HaMitzvot. When someone's an Onein, they're Osek by the mate. So there's a suspension of the Dine Avelut until the time that the Aninut is over. But that doesn't mean that the generation or the start of Avelut applies. And therefore, the Ramban sees Aninut having all the trappings of Avelut, except for the three exceptions, which are Nilata Sandal, Tifat Arosh, and Kviat HaMita, which would somehow inhibit or be improper in the situation where you're dealing with the maid. But other than that, he thinks that everything applies. That means that there's an Isur Biah in Aninut, just like there's an Isur Biah by Avelut. So how do we have a dispensation over here, a Boel Bilat Mitzvah? The Ramban says, I'll explain it to you, the chuppah, the mitzvah of chuppah overrides over here. The chuppah itself is what generates the ability to override Avelut. So now for the Ramban, it's very easy to understand why only the father of the groom or the mother of the bride, because chuppah is the generator of the heter over here. Well, chuppah only applies when we're going to carry through with the marriage, when the marriage is essential. That's only essential when you're talking about the mother of the bride or the father of the groom. The other way around, we can postpone the wedding. If we can postpone the wedding, the chuppah is not going to override the Avelut. And for the Ramban, it's very easy to understand why Ipcha is not the case. It's also easier when he explains why there is an override over here. The only question we have for the Ramban is, why is it that the Nehigwe Avelut don't kick in right after we bury the mate? Why is it that the Shivat Yimei Mishteh don't allow the Nehugei Avelut to take effect when the Nehugei Avelut already took effect? They're in effect already. So you have to suggest, and it's not so simple, is that the Shivat Yimei Mishteh are a derivative of the Bilat Mitzvah, and they postpone, they push out the Nehugei Avelut over here, and that's what generates the whole process over here. So Rashi says it's Yontif. That's what he's suggesting, that just like by Regel, you wouldn't have Avelut be postponed till afterwards, so too over here, the Avelut will be postponed till after the Shivat Yimei Mishteh. The question is, how did the Shivat Yimei Mishteh take precedence over Avelut for the Ramban? Because he believes that the Avelut already started from the time that the person passed away. As soon as you bury them, it's automatic. You can't postpone the Avelut at that point in time. If the Avelut never got off the ground, for instance, the person was Niftar during the Yom Tov, during the Regel, so when they're Niftar during the Regel, the Avelut never gets off the ground. But over here, where the mate happened prior to the Chuppah, then the Avelut started. There was a postponement because of Aninut. And that is actually what the Ramban says over here. The Ramban says that the Biat Mitzvah would override Aninut and it would override Avelut. Remember, for the Ramban, there's no difference. There's an Isur Biat both in Aninut and in Avelut. So a Chuppah would override both of them, according to the Ramban. So then why do we do it during the Aninut and not during the Avelut? Because there were Marviach that you get the Shivat Yimei Mishteh before the Avelut. If you do the Biat Mitzvah during the Avelut, you'd have to keep the Avelut first, and then only do the Shivat Yimei Mishteh afterwards. How do we get the case that you have the Shivat Yimei Mishteh first? Is if he does the Biat during the Aninut. For all the other Rishonim who say Biat Mutar during Aninut and Asur during Avelut, the reason we do the Biat front is because it's Aninut. We want to get it done then. The Ramban who says there's no difference between Aninut and Avelut, the reason we do the Biat early is because then you get the Shivat Yimei Mishteh first, then Shivat Yimei Avelut. That's the bonus for doing it during Aninut instead of Avelut, because then the Avelut is postponed because of the Shivat Yimei Amishteh. So because of that, he has it during the Aninut, not during the Avelut, even though it would work in both cases according to the Ramban, because there's no difference between Avelut and Aninut according to the Ramban. Alright, then we had the Ritva we mentioned before. The Ritva sees Aninut and Avelut Tuchud, and he simply sees that over here we basically are negating Aninut by saying that you don't have to deal with the mate. We put the mate on the side. Since you don't have to deal with the mate, you're not really an Onein. Since you're not really an Onein, there's no restriction against Biat Mitzvah. And that's how we generate or how we create this whole scenario over here. So now, Gemara continues and says, Amar Afram Bar Papa Amar Rav Chista. It's only once you put the water on the basar, meaning that you remove the salt. You basically took it out of the fridge. You defrosted the meat already. It's the equivalent of today, which is that you have a clock ticking now on the meat, and that's when this is the true. By the case of Aviv Shel Chatan and Ima Shel Kalah, we won't postpone the wedding because they were toreach to bring the wedding party here. So the wedding party exists. If it's going to be a huge financial loss, they won't be able to create their wedding party again, then fine. If you haven't poured water on it, it's still a saleable item. If you could sell the basar, they're not past that threshold where they're going to lose it all, then over there we're going to say sell it off and you can replace it because you have the monetary means to replace it. In a big city, there are always buyers, even of meat that has a clock ticking on it because there's always someone who's going to eat it and can utilize it right away. And if that's the case, you could sell it and you wouldn't lose out over here. Amar Papo Bikfar, when you're in a village, Afal Bishalo Natan Mayim. Even if you didn't put the water on it, Agabe Abasar Lo Mizdabein, there's no buyers. Even if you haven't poured the water on it, it's still got a clock ticking on it because there's just not enough people to take this off your hands. So basically what they have said now is, in the big city, you can always postpone the wedding because you won't suffer a huge financial loss. You'll be able to sell off all the food that you prepared for the wedding. In the village, it's the other way around. We will never postpone the wedding because there's no way to get out of the financial loss. And we will therefore say you always can continue with the wedding because of the tremendous financial loss over here. Once you've done that, when does the din of Rav Chista come up where he says when you pour water, you don't postpone it. When you didn't pour the water, you do postpone it. Where does that come up? A city like Matamachsia, the Mafka Mikrach, Umafka Mikvar. It's too small to be a big city, but too big to be considered a village. It sits between the two. Over there you have buyers, but limited buyers. You have enough buyers that if the meat does not yet have the water poured on it, that people will take it off your hands. But if the water is already poured on it, then you're not going to find enough buyers to take it off your hands. So in that case, it will make a difference of how far along you are in the preparation process as to whether we postpone the wedding or don't postpone the wedding. Again, it's all about the financial loss that will be incurred over here. And that's the determination of whether we demand that you postpone the wedding or not. Tanya Kavati Rav Chista. We have a bright that supports Rav Chista. Reshaya pito afuya v'techo tavuach v'yenu mazug v'natan mayim agabei basar. So here you see that. V'natan mayim agabei basar, which is different than the brayta that we saw before that didn't have the mayim agabei basar. Then umeit aviv shel chatan umeit shel kala machnisim et umeit lecheder v'et hachatan v'et hakala l'chupa. Ubeo bilat mitzvah upureish ve'onoheg shivat yemei mishteh v'achar kach noheg shivat yemei avelut. V'kol otan yamim hu yashin ben anashim v'ishto yishina ben anashim. Chein mi shepirsa ishto nida. The same is true by a woman who is a nida, which is what we call chupat nida. The same is true over there. Hu yashin ben anashim v'yishina ben anashim. There they sleep separately when it's a chupat nida. Vein monim tachshitin min hakala kol yam idyom ben kach uben kach lo yivol lo be'erev shabbat v'lo b'motzei shabbat. But again, the din of the kala, that for 30 days we don't withhold anything from her. Ben kach uben kach, you shouldn't get married on a Friday because you're going to have biat mitzvah on Friday night. And you should not get married on motzei shabbat, which the Gemara will deal with at the end of today's daf into tomorrow's daf, why you shouldn't get married on a motzei shabbat. So you see here, there's a braita. A braita that says, Natan Mayim al Gabei Basar, as opposed to the other braita, which did not say, Venatan Mayim al Gabei Basar. So that distinction, Mayim al Gabei Basar, makes a difference because that is a threshold that you could not return from. And once you cross over that threshold, the financial loss is so big that we will say to you, continue with the wedding, go on with the wedding party because we cannot reverse it. All right, now, Amar Mar. Hu Yashin ben Anashim, V'Yishina ben Anashim. He sleeps among the men, she sleeps among the women. Misayale the Rabbi Yochanan. This supports Rabbi Yochanan's position. Don't Rabbi Yochanan. Afal pi shamru ein aveilut b'moed. Even though we say there's no such thing as aveilut on a regel, nevertheless, at the varim shetzina no egg. Varim shetzina, we are no egg during the regel. So just like on Shabbat, where there's no outward aveilut, but the varim shetzina you have to keep, so too, Rabbi Yochanan says, by a moed, by one of the regalim, you cannot have outward aveilut, but dvarim shebitzina apply. And over here, the Gemara draws a parallel between moed and the shivat yemei amishteh, that they have the same din. We equate them, and therefore, if b'moed, There's no outward avelut, but Sinai is. So too by Yeshivat Yemei HaMishteh. There will be no outward avelut, but Bitzinah there will be. That's why he can't have Biyah. That's why he can't be together with his wife. So this would support that position of Rabbi Yochanan. It also supports the psak of the Ashkenazi Poskim, which is that the avelut during a regel, we only don't keep Tvarim Shebifarhesya, but Tvarim Shebitzinah we do keep. The Svardim and the Rambam Paskins, that the regel uproots it entirely. There is no semblance of avelut during the Moed. That is, even a Dvarim Shebitzinah, he obviously has a different gyrsa in the Gemara over here, otherwise he would not be able to say such a thing. But he believes that nothing happens on the regel. So the Rambam has to view the regel Moed on its own plateau, and Shabbat and Shivat Yemei HaMishteh are a different category where Tzinah does apply. On the other hand, most of the poskim believe that regel and Shivat Yemei HaMishteh are together. Shabbat is a step down as a different laws because Shivat Yemei HaMishteh and Moed are all the same, that you can have Dvarim Shabbat Tzinah. So because the Rambam has a different structure to his view of Avelut and what overrides Avelut. Dorash Rav Yosef Brei Derava Mishmei Derava Lo Shana Eshelo Ba. That's only true if he didn't have Biyah yet. Aval Baal, if they already had Biyah, Yishto Yishena Imo, then his wife can be together with him. Gemara says, what are you talking about? What's the case here? In the Brayta here, both Brayta that we brought down, it says Baal Bilat Mitzvah. So then over here, the Baal Askinan, Viketani, and it still says, Hu Yashin Ben Anashim, V'Yashina Ben Anashim. It says very clearly that even after Biyah, you have to separate. Kikamar, his statement is amount of pirsta ishto nida. That's made about a nida. By a nida, if they already had biyah together, then if she's pirsa nida, they're allowed to stay together. So even though technically she's a nida, why should we trust them together with her? The answer is they already had biyah. Since they already had biyah, that tremendous urge or drive to be together with his wife was already taken care of. And now he has pat pesalo because he knows that his wife will be muteret after she clears through this period of the nida. On the other hand, if they never had biyah, there we don't trust them to be together and they have to stay separated. They can't have yichud after the chuppah. What right now the Gemara is doing is distinguishing between the two and saying chuppah nida is different. Chuppah nida, you're not allowed to be together after chuppah nida because there will be no biyah. Therefore they have to remain separated until she's no longer nida. But if they have biyat mitzvah, and then she's pirsa nida, then they can remain together. That's what is being suggested by the Gemara here, according to Rabbi Yosef. So our Braita, when it says, v'chein pirsa nida, is in a case where they did not have biyah. That's why they have to remain separate. The obvious question, which is going to be the next question of the Gemara is, wait, you just compared it to the case of Avelut, where there was biyah, and then you say pirsa nida, they can't be together. Well, why is one case a case where there's biyah, and the other case is not biyah, then it's not v'chein. It's not the same case. That's the Gemara's next question. All right, but then, chuppat nida, according to the Rambam, chuppat nida doesn't work at all. The Rambam believes you cannot have a chuppat nida. It fails completely. Because according to Rambam, chuppah is the consummation of the marriage, the biyah. If you can't have biyah, then you don't have a chuppah. And you have no consummation of the marriage. And therefore, chuppat nida is a nil, according to the Rambam. No nisuin, according to the Rambam, right? Take effect. According to most of the Rishonim, chuppat nida is a technical problem. You still have nisuin, but you just don't have the consummation through biyah, but you just still are married, you had nisuin, you just don't have the ability to complete the consummation of the biyat mitzvah, but you still have a chuppah. So for them, you don't have to do another chuppah because the nisuin is already accomplished at that time. That's the way we paskin today, which is that you have a chuppah nida, the marriage goes through, there is nisuin, but we just force the husband and wife to stay separated until she clears out of being a nida. Right, so others think that chuppah might just be the husband taking the woman into his house. That's why we have the chuppah, or it might just be yichud, the potential that they are alone and that they have yichud is enough to generate the nisuin. But over here, they won't be any yichud as well. So there, for them, chuppah is not as driven by the outcome of biyah, and that's why chuppah works. For the Rambam, it's so essential, piri arivya is so essential to the aspects of chuppah nisuin. Therefore, there's no chuppat nida, and there's a total failure here of nisuin, according to the Rambam. All right, the Gemara says, ha v'chein ktani. Doesn't it say v'chein? The two cases are parallel. So the Gemara says, achi gamar. V'chein, misha pirsa ishto nida, v'lo bao. They left out those words there. You have to amend the bright to say v'lo bao. Then hu yashin ben anashim, v'ishto yishina ben hanashim. So v'chein is the outcome. The outcome is the same, which is they both have to be separated. But the cause is different. In the case of Avelut, even with Biyah, we will force them to separate. By Nida, if there is no Biyah, then we will cause them to separate. Lememra, Davelut, Kilale Minida. To show you what, that seems to indicate that Avelut is more kal than Nida. This comes to what Rashi said on the Amud Aleph, Shaul was pointing out, which is that Nida is a mitzvah that involves a chiyuv karet. So since it is a chiyuv karet, people are very careful about it. Therefore, if they're in a situation where there's nida, we would trust them to be together after biyah, because it's nida, it's karet. On the other hand, by avilut, where it's a din derabanan according to most, in addition to that, in this situation, we postponed the avilut. We had the shiva yimei mishteh, then we had the shiva yimei avilut. We're already being so makel by avilut, people are going to be more makel in avilut. Now you can look at this in one of two ways. You can say halachically, that's what Rashi is determining over here. One's karet, one's not karet. That's the way people view these mitzvot. Or you can talk about something that is the minagam, which is that people view certain mitzvot with a different light. Sometimes people view a mitzvah with severity, even though it's a lighter mitzvah. So for instance, Rabbi Rav Rosenzweig always pointed out, chazir, which is nisur lav, people, even who don't keep kashrot, normally won't eat chazir. Tevel, which is a chiva of mita bidei shemayim, they don't even know about. They don't even care about. It has nothing to do with the halachic severity of it. It might have to do with the nature of people's view of these mitzvot. And so over here, it might be either the halachic difference, which is nida is more chamur than avilut, or it might be the hamunam that views nida as being more severe than avilut. V'amar b'yitzvak v'chanin amar avuna kol malachot shi'isa usa lebala, nida usa lebala. All malachot that a woman does for her husband, and nida can do for her husband. Chutz mimzigat kos v'tzat amita v'chatzat panav yadav regalav. These three things are accepted, even though normally a wife does these things for her husband, because these are demonstrations of her love towards her husband. They have a certain amount of closeness that's generated. You would only do this for your husband. You wouldn't do it for someone else. And because of that, we're afraid. These are part of the harchokot of nida. Harchokot of nida come into different categories. Some categories are, we don't have a certain amount of intimacy because they lead to biyah. There's certain harchokot that deal like these, which are things that are unique between a wife and a husband. And therefore, if she continues to do these things, then it will lead to the regular way that they act. And because of that, we make these into harchokot to remind them that there's a certain difference of time over here. But you see here that the nida, the things that she doesn't do are, she cannot pour his cup, she cannot make his bed, and not wash his face. Thus, what over here says that the making of the bed is just putting the sheets on. Something that doesn't involve tircha, and something that really involves the love. Make putting the pillows and the blankets and all that stuff that they can give to the servants to do. It's the thing that's very intimate, the part that is just a very simple act, but an act that demonstrates a certain amount of closeness or love. So, v'ilu gabi avilut tanya. By avilut it says, afu pisham ruin adam rashay lakofet ishto liot kochelet liot pokeset. A person whose wife is an avela, he can't force her to put on makeup. According to Rashi, pokeset is srak, is like rouge or blush. Kochelet is eyeshadow that you can't force her to put on. Tosavot disagrees all over Shas with Rashi's explanation of srak al panah. And Tosavot says, vein nira. The pokeset ainu hanu pirkus. One suggestion is, Tosavot says, it's putting on the mousse that holds down the hair, or braiding, Tosavot brings down, is the other possibility. But he says it's one of the tikkunei nashim, but it's not necessarily makeup like Rashi suggests over here. But you can't force his wife to put on makeup. On the other hand, Be'emet Amru, Mozeket lo kos, Mutzat lo mita, Merchetz lo panav yadav raglav. She still does all of these activities that a normal wife does. So over there we see by Nida, we do a bigger harchaka because we're afraid that this will lead to something wrong. By Milu, we don't make the demand for that. So you see that the halachot by Nida are more chamura than the halachot by Avelut. No kasha. Very simple answer. The question belies the answer, which is, kan be avilut didei, kan be avilut didah. Depends who avilut you're talking about. Because in the Braita, we're talking about his avilut. Over here, we're talking about her avilut. By her avilut, it's very different. She will not allow there to be biyah when it's her avilut. When it's her avilut, she feels personally the biyah, and therefore she'll say no biyah no matter what. Even if she takes care of her husband, in those cases, she's not going to do it. Kan avilut didei, when it's his avilut, then we're afraid that he'll convince her to have biyah. She's not personally an avela over here, and therefore she will acquiesce to it. So it depends who's the avel. In the situation of the braita, he's the avel. Over here, she's the avel. When he's the avel, we don't allow. we have to make sure, we have to make extra precautions. When she's the avela, we don't have to worry about it. Now, what's the obvious question? The obvious question, what was the cases in the Braita? Mate, aviv shel katan, ve ishma shel kala. So what are you talking about? It's not just talking about the father of the groom, it's also talking about the mother of the bride. Va aviv shel katan, u ima shel kala ktani. The case of the Braita is both cases. It says, ki ktani ashara. Now, that's not talking about the issue of ben anashim, ve nashim. That's talking about all the other factors. All the other factors are true. There still is a difference between them. There is a difference between an avela and an avel, but that difference is only about this issue of the harchokot. But everything else is the same, and that's why they put them together. Is there really such a distinction that we draw between his avelut and her avelut? Vatanya. Don't we have a brayta? Mishmeit chamiv v'chamato. If his in-laws pass away, ene yachola kofet ishto liot kochel v'yopo keset. Like we said before, she's now an avela. He can't force her to put on makeup or to do what women normally do in terms of beautifying themselves. Elokofaya mitato. He has to flip his bed. Nohegi ma'avelut. He has to be an avel just like her. V'chein hi shemeit chamia o chamuta. Same is true for the woman. When her mother-in-law and father-in-law, the mother and father of the husband pass away, eina rashali ot kochelet deopukeset. She's not allowed to put on makeup. Elokofa mitata. She also flips her bed over. And he has to be together with him. So you see here, there's a parallel between the avelut of his avelut and her avelut. Both parties are drawn into the avelut. Today, add on to this braita, bevelut day, hu yashin ben anashim, vishto yashina ben anashim. In his avelut, they stay separated. And during her avelut, they are allowed to be together, meaning that they don't have to separate. They can have yichud. They can't be at biyah, but they can have yichud. Where it says, Vaha v'chein k'toni. Doesn't this braita just say v'chein? It compares the avilut, his avilut, to her avilut. It doesn't draw any distinctions here. It draws a parallel between them. K'toni akichol v'pirkus. The parallel is drawn about the makeup. In both cases, she doesn't put on makeup. Whether she's the avela, or whether she is the wife of the avel, she doesn't put on makeup. Vaha imo k'toni. Where it doesn't say that she's noheget imo avilut. Imo is a very personal idea. Imo, together with him. My love, imo b'mita. What does that mean, imo? Imo means together with him in the bed, in that they have this restriction. Lo imo babayit. In the first half of the braita, where it says, v'noheg ima avilut. Over there we vote ima being a very personal ima. So that means together with her, he's noheg avilut. They can't have bia, but we wouldn't demand a separation between the man and the woman, the husband and wife stay together, and we rely on them. So too over here, when it says noheg imo avilut, we would suggest that we wouldn't demand a separation between the man and the woman, the husband and wife stay together. In that case as well, that the imo and ima are parallel. The Gemara comes along and says, no, the imo over there means that you do not have to separate. The imo over here means that in the house. Kedamar le Rav Chia the Bray. Rav Chia taught his son, Papa nahu gaveluta. When you're in front of her, you have to be noe gavelut. Delo papa, when you're not in front of her, lo tinhog aveluta. When you're not in front of them, don't. So that's the question. Why does the spouse have to keep avelut over here? The question is, who's the kavod for? Is it the kavod for the avel themselves? I mean that the spouse is b'avelut. It would be improper, it would be inconceivable that you would act normally in front of your spouse who's an avel. It would be lacking in any empathy for the individual. And therefore, it would course for you to act normally when your spouse is b'avelut. It would be as if you have no emotions, as if you have no feelings. It would be inappropriate. That's one way to view this. And therefore, bapa or bape, when you're in front of them, you keep the avelut. When you're not in front of them, you don't keep the avelut because there it's not an affront to their emotional state. It's only when you're in front of them that it's an affront to their emotional state. That's one way to view it. The other way to view it is that in-laws have a different status. There is a certain amount of relationship between the son-in-law and the mother and father-in-law, or the daughter-in-law and the mother and father-in-law, that there is a relationship of a quasi-child, that maybe even there has to be a certain amount of kavod, an extension of kibud aveim, and so too when it comes to avelut, there is an appropriate avelut that this person has to keep for the loss of the in-laws. Now, to be a full-fledged avelut, that would be almost like mocking. Because what? Oh, you're full avel over your in-laws. You know that it's not a real avelut. So how do we create a situation in which you have like a partial avelut? So that's when you're in front of the real avelim, you're an avel. Because you're also emotionally affected. You also have a relationship over here. And therefore there's avelut. On the other hand, when you're not in front of them, then you're not knowing avelut to show that it's not a full-fledged avelut, but there is a certain aspect of avelut. So it makes a difference here in terms of why there's avelut. Is the avelut generated by the kavod of the party, or is it generated because of the nature of the relationship with the individual? And these two formulations are actually what's found in the Shulchan Aruch and the Reuel Ma. Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeya Siman Shinai Dalet Sivov says, Kom Shemit Abel Alav Mitabel Imo Imet Lo Met. V'gdavka Bodo Bifanav. That's only when they're in front of him. Aval Shalo Bifanav Ein Tzirich Lenhog Yavelut. Chutz Mi Ishto, with the exception of his wife, She'afo Pi Shemit Abel Aleha Einu Mitabel Ima. Even though he is Mitabel when she passes away, he does not join her Avelut. Ela alaviha olalima, with the exception of her mother and father, mishum kvod chamiv v'chamuto, because of the honor of his in-laws. So you see, the focus of the Shulchan Aruch is on the honor of chamiv v'chamuto. On the other hand, later on, the Roma says, haga, v'yeshomim da'idna noagim la'akel b'avelut shel mitabim imo. We are makeil with this joining avelut. Tein zela mishum kvod hamit ablim. That's only a kavod for those that are in mourning. Akshav nagu kulam limchol. And everybody's mochel on their kavod. So you see here, the Ramah formulates it as being a kavod for the avelim, not a kavod for chamiv v'chamuto. So that, what we expressed before, is actually manifest in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and their different views about avelut ima with regards to his wife. Whether that's a din in kavod chamiv v'chamuto, or is that a din in kavod ha'avela? And whether she can be mochel or not mochel on this. So it might matter, again, it matters in certain situations where the person is not present. What happens if the spouse predeceases? And then you have the in-laws, and avelut for the in-laws. What's the relationship then? Are you still a mother-in-law and father-in-law after the spouse passes away? We saw in Yevamot, maybe yes. That's, we still worry about that relationship, even at the passing of the individual. Again, you have factors here that will make a difference, whether it's driven by the kavod of the individual or driven by the kavod of the relationship. Again, that might have a nafkamina in terms of non-parents. Avelut for non-parents, maybe then you would have to keep avelut b'apa. Although you could argue in both cases, parents are unique. And parents are unique, both from the side of the relationship with the parents, as well as the nature of avelut for a parent, which is a much more stringent and severe avelut. Ravashi Amar, Mika damait eviluta da hochal eviluta da alma? You're comparing this avelut to regular avelut? Eviluta da alma chamir, veloati lezuzulebe. Regular avelut, people are not dispensing with. It's avelut, people take seriously. Avelut ahocha, kevin da'akilu rabbono anate lezuzulei bei. Similar to what we have by the Parah Aduma, where the Chachamim allowed the person to become a tvoyom. Because they allowed him to become tvoyom, we're very worried about people being meiko. So we put other chumrot on top of it to protect the situation. So same thing here. Here we're meiko, we allow you to do the shivat yimei hamishteh, but we are not going to allow certain things to go on during the avelut because we want to strengthen the avelut to show this is real avelut, even though we postpone the avelut after the shivat yimei hamishteh. So because this, even though in regular avelut we would not cause you to separate from your spouse, in this avelut we will cause you to separate from your spouse because of the nature of how this avelut happened. You had biyah while the mate was there. Already people are going to look at this in a much more questionable manner. Ah, yeah, this is avelut. Not really. And then they're going to act in a certain way. To protect it, we said we took extra steps and said separate. No, this is real avelut. You got to know that. Over here you see that, by the way, even though the din of avelut is kal, which is that in certain circumstances, we're going to allow the woman to do things for her husband, which she wouldn't do with a nidah. Nevertheless, in the eyes of the people, people do not denigrate the avelut. And that's very true. Today, again, avelut is an emotional experience for many people. And even the most irreligious people keep avelut, even though they don't keep nidah. So for them, severity of avelut is much higher than the severity of nidah. So we don't have to worry about it. We allow you to do other things that we wouldn't allow by nidah. Even though nidah halachically is more chamor, nevertheless, in the eyes of the people, avelut is more chamor, and therefore, we grant you certain dispensations in avelut that we won't grant by nidah. Hey, my kula. What's the kula over here? We said before that avelut is kila, mi nidah. Ravashi says, because over here we are mekil, what kula is allowed? Ilay medetani boel bilat mitzvah, pareish. Over here that he does a biat mitzvah and they separate. Hatam shum dechol chalalav aveluta. That's a technical problem. The avelut hasn't happened yet. That's why he does the biat mitzvah. So how are we mizalzel in avelut over here? Ila Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, actually it's semi petach habayit. Avelut only happens once you leave the house, meaning the mate is taken out of the house where he was niftar. Ila Rabbi Yeshua, actually satay magolel, till they close the grave. whatever weight it is. Here, Rashi and Tosafot argue all over Shas what this stimata golel is. Rashi says it's kisui shel aron of the mate. Tosafot says it's the side stones and the stone that they put on top. I've always told you that my feeling is that, and you can go see it in Yerushalayim, they buried them in caves. There's a stone that rolled in front. That's the golel. And the sotem is putting the rock under the golel so it doesn't roll away. Wheels roll unless you put something under it, and that's the plug that stops it from rolling. Ella, diktani, noheg shivat yemei hamishteh. The kula here is that they're going to keep sheva brachot before they do avelut. V'achakach noveg shivat yemei avelut. So that's the kula that we have over here. It's not the biat mitzvah. Biat mitzvah is not a problem because it doesn't come into contrast with the avelut or aninut. Again, that's a problem for the shita of the Ramban. For others who say that aninut and avelut are separate, then it's not a problem. The biat is during the period of the aninut, not during the period of the avelut. On the other hand, once the biat is done and the maid is buried, it's clear that avelut is triggered. Despite the fact that avelut is triggered, we still do shivat yemei hamishteh before shivat yemei avelut because the biat mitzvah happened first. And that is actually what the Ramban says over here. The Ramban says that the biat mitzvah would override aninut and it would override avelut. Remember, for the Ramban, there's no difference. There's an iser biat both in aninut and in avelut. So a chuppah would override both of them, according to the Ramban. So then why do we do it during the aninut and not during the avelut? Because there were marviach that you get the shivat yemei hamishteh before the avelut. If you do the biat mitzvah during the avelut, you'd have to keep the avelut first, and then only do the shivat yemei hamishteh afterwards. How do we get the case that you have the shivat yemei hamishteh first? Is if he does the biat during the aninut. For all the other rishonim who say biat is mutar during aninut and asur during avelut, the reason we do the biat front is because it's aninut. We want to get it done then. The Ramban who says there's no difference between aninut and avelut, the reason we do the biat early is because then you get the shivat yemei hamishteh first, then shivat yemei avelut. That's the bonus for doing it during aninut instead of avelut, because then the avelut is postponed because of the shivat yemei hamishteh. So because of that, he has it during the aninut, not during the avelut, even though it would work in both cases according to the Ramban, because there's no difference between avelut and aninut according to the Ramban. But here's the kula. This is somewhere where you would possibly be mezalzel in this particular avelut because there's a kula here. And for that reason, we're more machmir, and we told him even after they've had biyat to separate. But in normal cases of avelut, we wouldn't demand a separation between the man and the woman. The husband and wife could stay together, and we rely on them because of the severity of avelut, not to have biyat. And we don't worry about it, similar to by Nida, where we trust people to be together after they're married and had their first biyah. We trust them to be together and keep to the laws of Nida. Okay, we're going to stop here, two lines from the bottom of Dalet Amud Bet.